my child.
What do you think of all that?
I admire Mickey. He's a remarkable personality and a very, very dear soul indeed. He's one who endeavors to serve in every possible conceivable way, and he endeavors to assist every individual who is seeking truth. He may not perhaps always be able to say and do as he would wish, although I'm sure he is such an assertive personality and character that very little is unsaid when he wishes to convey something. But there is truth in what he says. As it were, much more than many who also have an equal claim on the time that is at our disposal.
That's the purpose, isn't it?
Yes, child, it's the purpose that I should come and I should give the message of spirit, that I should take, as it were, charge, and that I should use the best of my ability the opportunity that is presented, that I might convey the universal message of truth, that all who listen to my voice shall gain some more knowledge and experience that will help and benefit them. But I do realize there are other souls attached who, in their own way and in their own fashion, play a very important part. They may not make themselves known, they may not come and speak, but they do work, as it were, oft-times in the background. They create and help to make possible the path which we tread together.
Yes.
I come and I speak through you and to you on such an occasion as this, reaching out, especially through your recordings and through that which you take down with pen onto paper, that many can read and digest that which I have to give. But I feel it is only right that I should clarify to some extent that I myself, though I am the prime mover, the prime speaker, as it were, in all our transactions, in all our communications together, I am in a sense but the mouthpiece of many.
Yes.
Many who are far removed from Earth, more highly evolved than myself, I act, as it were, as an instrument for them. I come and I speak, and the words that I give you are mine own, but at the same time, many of the thoughts that flow, they are the thoughts of souls in the spheres, and I sometimes go among them and am with them and transmit for them on such occasions as this my experience. There are many aspects of this truth. And I think, and I've often thought, that we should, where possible, contact souls in your world who are bemused, who are unsettled and unsure, who perhaps have some problem of a spiritual nature, that I might in some measure be able to answer and to help and give them that message which they so intimately and individually desire. You know, we come together on occasions like this and we talk together. Sometimes I endeavor particularly to talk in a way that I feel will be, in a sense, a general thing. In other words, that many can become involved in that which I speak about. I try as best I can to discuss problems and circumstance and situation, particularly appertaining to my life and the life of others here, to give an insight into the world of the spirit and make, as it were, possible individuals on your side conscious of this power in such a way that it can benefit them and in some measure help to change them accordingly. But there are moments and times when I wonder if it would not be a good idea if among your friends and those who are interested in our work that they should put questions that you could bring to me.
Yes, well, I've got one girl. She's a very deep thinker, and she's the little girl that runs off the copies for me.
Yes, Jane.
And whenever I go there, she always has some question to ask.
Now, this is what we would like.
Well, she posed me too, and...
You me have one to start.
one was, she said, what's it all for? I said, what? She said, well, you say I've got to give out love to animals and birds and people. She says, I do, but they still keep fighting. And she says, and then you say we're going to go on from different spheres to different spheres, but we're never going to reach perfection. What's it all for?
This is an old question, perhaps wrapped up in a different wrapping and presented in a different way. But this is the age-old question from since man himself began to think. What is it all for? That is, assuming that the individual accepts the reality of life eternal. What is it all for? I suppose, in a sense, this is an unanswerable question, and yet I do not think it is fully so. Questions and answers, these things which sometimes are placed before us, which in their own way perhaps present a problem, a difficulty, when one begins to think deeply, and I mean this very deeply, when one realizes that the human spirit is indestructible, that the human spirit is the very basis of all life, that without it, without its power, this life-giving force, call it what you will, it has many names, we could not exist, we could not be, we would not have any realization or consciousness at all, we would be, in a sense, as it were, dead, with no knowledge, no feeling, no emotion, no way of expressing, we would cease to be. But all life is movement, all life is motion, all life is change. Nothing stands still. The average person in your world, if he thinks at all, assumes that life is purely that which he experiences day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment. He assumes that the physical and the material, which he calls life, is the be-all and the end-all, and that after so-called physical death, his body ceases to function, and that he therefore has no knowledge, no nothing. In other words, he is as nothing, he ceases to be, and therefore that is to him the end. But we all know, or we should know, that there is something far more than the physical. The physical is animated force, animated life. But nevertheless, it takes many forms, and indeed it functions under many conditions. Though behind all that happens, whether it is in material existence of the human being, whether it is in nature or with the animal kingdom, or in whatever form there is life, behind it all is wisdom. Behind it all is the fundamental spark of the divine. We use these terms. We talk about the divine. We talk about God. We talk about the infinite. We talk about the spirit. We talk about the spheres. In fact, we talk about many things, using many terms. But basically, it is all life. Life is the operative word, inasmuch that it is this that makes all things possible. We are more than we seem, whether it is physical, or whether it is mental or spiritual. The fusion, as it were, of these three aspects of life, when upon earth, to some extent create or help to create our personality and our character, help to create us as we are. But these are mere fractions or aspects of the greater self, which can only come into flower, which can only come into being through aeons and aeons and aeons of time. And I refer not to physical time, but I refer to time of a mental and spiritual spiritual awareness and consciousness. And this is not the kind of time that is for the clock or the moon and the stars. Man cannot perceive clearly when upon earth many aspects of that which we know to be so. We can only give to you in words, as best we may and as best we can, that which we have discovered and found and experienced by our many, as you would term, centuries of time out of the physical body. You see, man will only think of himself in a physical body. Yeah. He will only concern himself with shape and form and outward expression. He loses the realization that the physical counterpart, the physical body, is only a construction from matter, which is yours as a temporary house for the eternal spirit, which by the mere fact of it being spirit is indestructible. When a person asks what is the point or what is the use, assuming that one goes on, and that one goes from one sphere to another, gaining knowledge and experience, and in consequence becoming more evolved, what is the meaning and the purpose, and what is the ultimate end, if there is an end at all? These are certain aspects which are difficult to explain. Indeed, I think impossible to explain in a material language. Mm-hmm. But the point is, if you ask the average man on earth, in spite of the fact that his life may not be a particularly happy one, or the circumstances and the conditions of that life may not be very conducive to him to find real happiness or real satisfaction, ask him if he would like it terminated, and invariably you will find, no matter how dull or uninteresting his life, he would not want, as you term it, to die. Mm-hmm. In other words, life is sweet, and life has possibilities and opportunities. One may not know from one day to the next what they may be or what may be round the corner that may change the circumstance. In other words, it is the element of uncertainty. It is the element of mystery. It is the element of the possibility that tomorrow may bring something wonderful that keeps man, as you would say, alive. And very few are they who wish to quit your world. They may be, in many senses, afraid. Fear is a predominant factor in man's makeup. But what I'm trying to point out in this is that where man has life, he has hope. He has the realization and the possibility of something better yet to come. And this is the stimulating factor behind, in a sense, all life, is the opportunity of new experience, new experiences which are so rejuvenating, if you like, that they by themselves alone make the realization of that which is not only the present, but which is of the morrow or that which is to come, exciting and something to live for. This is the joy and beauty of our world too, that while we are experiencing many things and finding great joy in love and in service and achievement, we are always conscious of the fact that there is still more to find out, more to discover, other spheres to conquer, other experiences to have which will benefit us, and which in so doing we shall achieve more than we ever thought was possible. It is always this realization that behind or round the corner is some new and wonderful thing yet to be discovered. This is the joy of life, the ever-growing up, as it were, the ever, as it were, developing and evolving and expressing in consequence that which you have found, and the joy and the love which follows when you are in harmony and in peace with innumerable souls, many whom are new and yet not new or strange to you. You know, we live in a world where beauty reigns, where joy is ever present, where there is always the realization of greater things to be found, greater joys to inherit, and greater understanding to come, where there is beauty everywhere, where man can find for himself opportunity for service, for creative power and ability. Nothing is lost and everything is found. We cannot explain in any way, I suppose, satisfactory to such as your friend. What is the meaning or purpose behind it all? We only know that to live is to be fully aware, fully conscious of all that life presents and all its great possibilities, that always it is interesting and exciting. Never is there, as you would say, a dull moment.
I'm looking forward to it, Nurse.
And when people say, what is the point? There are many points, and many of these points are pointers, as it were, to a greater understanding and a greater peace, a greater realization of the love of the Infinite Father. We see for centuries man has culled words, trying to depict or describe many aspects of a life which he hopes for, prays for, and yet has no sense of certainty about. Man creates terms and expressions. Man assumes, and sometimes in his assumption he strikes upon some truth or aspect of it. But you see, ever since man's history began, realizing as he did in those early centuries of time, that the material world and the material life was in a sense a short one, that sooner or later he must leave behind that which seemed so solid and so real, so much of himself, he realized very quickly that there would be death. And many were afeared and still are afeared of death. And until we take away that sting, until we take away from men the fear of death and give them an insight into the reality of life and all life, not just the life that transpires, that happens immediately after so-called death, but eternal life where man never ceases to become aware and conscious of greater and more beautiful and more wonderful aspects of self and of God, if you like. You see, we use these terms, God and Jehovah. Christ came into the world to give some idea, to give some expression to the power of the Holy Spirit. He manifested it, he utilized it, and he performed what the world terms miracles, and yet they rejected him. And so it will always be, I suppose, that man on earth, to a certain extent, will reject the things of the Spirit, because in many instances man finds it impossible or difficult to comprehend the mystery, and yet there should be no mystery. Man creates mystery for himself, because he will not and cannot understand, he cannot enter into or open up his heart sufficiently and fully enough to comprehend the realities of the Spirit. Man will always conceive and think purely on a material basis, and in consequence he cannot understand, he cannot realize, he cannot comprehend, because always he will think in this material sense about things which have no material basis, which truly are spiritually based and spiritually demonstrated and spiritually utilized by the forces of the Spirit. In consequence, man finds this difficult to understand. Christ was crucified because man was afraid. It was fear that crucified Christ. Man's fear, man's materialistic aspect and attitude to something he couldn't comprehend and understand, which feared him and frightened him. And Christ was one of many such examples. All great prophets, all great seers, all great teachers who come with a pure spirit of real revelation, all suffer at the hands of materialism. The peoples involved are, in a sense, but the automatons. In a sense, they are but the instruments of fear. They are the instruments of evil, too. But this is man's ignorance. Evil is ignorance. Evil is the opposite, of course, to that which is good. But in so doing many things, man does much through fear rather than through hatred or evil. We see man as he really is, this battle that man has within himself, trying to overcome, losing even the path which once he may have trod. There are many in your world who seek, and sometimes to some extent find, but then through materialism and conditions lose the path and sometimes they cannot for themselves. Call of spirit, when he realizes the truth of eternal life, and when he realizes that the fundamental truth is that all men are of the same spirit, and that it is foolish, and indeed it has proved again and again over the centuries of time, the most appalling deeds have been done, the most appalling things have happened under the name of religion. And we know only too well the differences in your world today that create such disharmony, such unhappiness, which create indeed such appalling situations where men suffer and the innocent too are brought to bear because of the intolerance in your world. Look what is happening in certain parts of Ireland today between the religious so-called Christians.
They hang on to old hates and...
Man, in his foolishness and his ignorance, creates creeds and dogmas. These are man-made and have nothing whatever to do with spirit.
Mm.
While man worships in a material sense power, creed, dogma, while he worships these things which are of the physical and not of the spirit, while he worships these things which man has created in foolishness and in ignorance, there will be no peace among the children of the earth. But we strive to instill the true spirit, the true realization of the love of the Holy Spirit, that all men may be made free, that they shall become unshackled, that they shall see light, and having seen that light shall follow it, and shall glorify the heavens in consequence. Truly, my child, our tasks are many, but we must not lose heart, we must not lose hope. Give my blessing and my love to all who listen to the voice of the Spirit, for I am but the mouthpiece of others. Go forward in strength and know that truly you are blessed. My love, my peace, I must depart now. Peace be with you, children.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mickey dear.
Bye-bye.